Right. I just had a very few precious moments. And not all of you have those precious moments. I sat praising the Lord with a great-grandson on my knee. And he kept very still as he listened to the praises to God. It was such a precious time. Yeah, I can't say any more. I might go to tears. It was that precious. Good morning, church. I feel like a teacher up here and you're all my pupils. I've had such fun this week. Don't like to be too far away. I have had such fun this week reading and learning this wonderful, beautiful book, Our Word of God. I'm excited about this morning. And I want to know, are you excited? Are you awake?
Yes.
Good. I want you to stand up and stretch and greet somebody and say, I'm excited. Are you excited? Bless you all. I love to see the smiles on your faces when you do that. It's such a joy to see the joy that you have as you greet your friends this morning. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, today we're going to explore something. And what we're going to explore in the Bible is about money. I think some of you, maybe not all of you, must have lost your joy when I said we're going to explore about money. It's not preached about a lot, unless you're in a conference and they want a good offering. I've heard that many a time. But I found it rather exciting because I was asked to talk on this subject. And as I went before the Lord, I had my own ideas how it would go. And I went before the Lord and he gave me something totally, totally different. And you know, it's not about feeling guilty. It's not about feeling ashamed. And it's not about being manipulated, which you can get if you talk about this in a church. So I just want you to keep tuned in all the time and listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to teach all of us this morning. I think it is quite exciting. I go back 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when we had Pastor George Palmer here. And George was directed by the Holy Spirit to talk about our mind and our heart. Do you remember that, those who were here? And he said, it's got to shift from here to here. And I sat in the seat, I went, God, you're so great. With that teaching, I'm going to follow on today. And he didn't know what I was going to talk about, but only God knows. And I thought, thank you, the worship for today and those who chose the song. My email has been out all day, all week, and probably all the next week, so don't send me emails. And we didn't have any connection at all. And God, we have the connection of the Holy Spirit, obviously. Okay. We heard the story today about the rich young ruler, and I just want to turn to those scriptures and just have a look at that, because this is the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me. Go to the story of the rich young ruler. And I thought, well, yeah, that's about money, but it wasn't what I expected when I began to study it and when the Lord began to speak to me. The rich young ruler, he was so keen to be a follower of Jesus, and he recognized who Jesus was, and he came to him, and he said to him, you know, what is it going to take for me to be a follower of you? And so Jesus knew him, because, and he knew, saw his heart, and he said, he said in verse 18, no, go back to 7. But if you wish to enter into eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Now, he was such a good guy. I can say that, can't I? He was such a good guy. He said to Jesus with a smile on his face, I'm sure, well, I've done all that. I've kept the commandments. And I thought, wow, this guy has good character if he's kept all the commandments. And then Jesus surprised him by saying in verse 21, if you wish to be perfect, that's interesting, that is, have the spiritual maturity that accompanies godly character with no moral or ethical deficiencies. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible here. Go and sell what you have and give the money to the poor. I wonder what we'd feel like if somebody said that before we came into church, before we could join the church and be a family. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor. I'm not sure whether I'd like that. We are comfortable people, aren't we? Anyway, Jesus said it to him, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. And then come and follow me. Now, becoming my disciple, believing is and trusting in me and walking the same path that I walk. That was what Jesus was talking to him about. And what did this young ruler do? He became quite sad, didn't he? Because he didn't think, he was a very, very wealthy young man, according to what the scripture says. And it's not that he didn't love Jesus, I think he did, otherwise he wouldn't have come and asked for him to follow Jesus. But he thought about all the treasures he had. We don't know exactly what treasures, but we know that he was very, very, very rich. And it appears that he couldn't give that up. And so he sadly turned away and never became a disciple of Jesus. What was wrong? What was he missing, this fine young man who kept all the commandments? Did he know it up here? Yes, I think he did. He knew all the commandments. He had it up here. But where was his heart? Now that's a different story, isn't it? Where was his heart? His heart was with the treasures. His heart was with the treasures. And that's why he turned away from Jesus, sadly, because he really wanted to follow him. His heart was not in the right place to follow Jesus. That's food for thought, isn't it? Where is our heart? And God made it very clear, the Holy Spirit made it clear, I want you to talk about the heart today. And we sang about the heart in one of our choruses that we sang. The requirement set down by Jesus. If he had a desire to serve Jesus, he had to be perfect, and thou wouldst be perfect. This is what the scripture says. If one thing thou lackest yet, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. In other words, Jesus wanted him to follow him with his heart, not lacking in anything. It is absolutely impossible, the Bible says, and Jesus described it, for a rich man, for a camel to go through. It's impossible for a camel to enter through a needle's eye, so it is equally impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We're a bit like that sometimes. Jesus goes on to explain, the things which are impossible to man are not impossible to me. If only the rich man had have had the wisdom to turn to Jesus and say, I can't do this, Lord. I can't give up my riches, but I can if you help me. What a difference the story would have been if he'd said that, because Jesus does come alongside of us, and when things are tough and we don't think we can do it, his Holy Spirit comes and helps us do the things that we think are impossible. Have you ever experienced that in your life? You know, I can't understand people who don't desire to know about the Holy Spirit, because when we are disciples of Jesus Christ, he lives within us. He lives within us, and he talks to us and he shows us. You know, when Jesus was going back to heaven, he said to his disciples, wait. It's like, wait, there's more. It's not steak knives this time. It's wait. I'm going to send you a helper, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And that was lacking. And when we can't do things, when Jesus asks us, what is missing? It's the Holy Spirit. We don't engage him in, because the scripture says all things are possible. All things are possible. And you know, we can't get it with our heads. We can't get it up here. It's a heart thing. Jesus is all about the heart. Now, we know about the heart, don't we? When you looked at a beautiful young girl and the girls looked at a beautiful young man, don't we know about the heart issues then? How much we fall in love and we think they're wonderful? Yes? You don't experience that. You have never experienced that. You never experienced that when you met your future wife. It's all about the heart thing. And Jesus is saying this morning, it's all about the heart things. Man's failure is not due to his weakness, but to his not accepting God's strength. It is not in his ability, but in not allowing God to enable him. The things which are impossible with men are definitely impossible with God. And the scripture says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Oh, I've discovered that in my life many, many times, and I'm sure you have. So when I explored this with the Lord, and it sort of, that was about all I could get out of it, I said, okay, Lord, what's next? Because we're supposed to be talking about money here. And he gave me one word, and I was very surprised. And you won't guess what that word was, so I'm going to tell you. It's a word that we don't hear very often, but it's in the scriptures. And it's called consecration. Consecration. We sing about it, or we used to, in the old hymns. I see Murray and Moira smiling when I mention about the old hymns. What does consecration mean? It means to be set apart as sacred. This is different. To be made holy. Can we do that on our own? No. No, we need the Holy Spirit definitely to help us. But that's what Jesus is saying. We have to be consecrated, set apart for Him in every area of our life. We used to sing, "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By thy power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine." Do you know who penned those words? Fanny Crosby. Do you know the story of Fanny Crosby? I believe you can get it on the internet, and I'd love my family to buy me her autobiography for Christmas. You have to take every opportunity in this job. Fanny Crosby was blind from birth, and yet she had such a devotion. She was consecrated in every area of her life for her Lord and her Saviour. So she could pen these wonderful words, "Consecrate me now for thy service, Lord." She wanted to work for Him, and I'm sure she did, even though she was blind. Another old hymn says, "I'm set apart for Jesus." I often sing these through the day. I'm set apart for Jesus. In other words, I'm consecrated. It's the same meaning, isn't it? To be a king and priest, His life in me increases. Upon His love I feast. From evil separated, made holy by His blood, my all is consecrated unto the living God. Wonderful words. My all is consecrated unto the living God. This is what Jesus wants us to hear this morning. This is what He wants us to be, consecrated, all of us, all of what we do, all of what we think. You know, we're having a wonderful, I shouldn't really tell you this because you might want to join us, but Monday nights is wonderful at Betty and Gilbert's place. We have a little group, and we've been in training, and I know there's been other groups around the place, but I haven't been there, but I could talk about the one that we have. And what the Lord is teaching us in this group, and we're having so much fun, the Lord is teaching us how to be consecrated in every area. And do you know what areas we've been looking at? Gossip. When do we gossip? And it's easy to gossip. Believe you me. Negative talk. Careless talk. Coming out of our mouth, and we found out that we do that every day. And we'd start a conversation and we'd say, And little things. Scripture talks about the little holes the foxes have to get into our lives and upset us. So this is what we've been looking at, and this is all part of what God's helping us to consecrate every area of our life. Because what comes out of here is power. And we discovered that when we used an example about the term, he's lazy or she's lazy. How many times have we said that? And so we looked at what would happen when those powerful words come out. And we found that those powerful words would affect that person. And when we looked at Scripture, and what does Scripture say? That we have to edify when we talk with our mouth. We have to edify rather than put down. So this is what we're learning. And it's wonderful with God, because no matter how old you are, you still learn. And boy, are we learning, and we are really having fun with it, enjoying it. Because that's what walking with Jesus is all about, is having fun. Not all, you know. We have the repentance, which isn't fun, but it cleans us up. And so this is what being consecrated. It's just not making one decision. We can't be consecrated just coming to church on Sunday and not bother praying and reading our Bibles and doing all those things that we think we have to do. It's a way of living. Remember we used to sing a new and something or other way I'm living? I can't recall it now. Yeah, there's a new and living way walking in it. There's a new and living way walking in it. And you know, I've been a Christian since I was about probably 8 or 10 or something like that. But I'm still learning. I'm still learning this new and living way. And I God knows my heart, I have such a passion. But sometimes it's hard work. It's work in remembering. But when you say to someone, we have a family gathering, and something was said, and we all look at each other and go, and so we pull each other in. And it's fantastic. It's we are drawing closer together because of it. And that none of that was in my script. Church family. Oh, yes. We were going to look at some scriptures. These are the scriptures that the Lord pulled out for me. We may be able to get it on the screen. Proverbs 11:28. Oh, should have done it in bigger type. He who leans on and trusts in and is confident in his own riches will fall, crash. But the righteous who trust in God's provision will flourish like a green leaf. Who wants to be a green leaf? Me. Exodus 25:2. Tell the children of Israel to take an offering for me from every man whose heart moves him to give willingly, in other words. You shall take my offering. And that was in, they wanted to build the tabernacle. And in 1 Corinthians 29, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a whole and blameless heart they offered freely to the Lord. And King David, of course, rejoiced with great joy. So the giving, even in those days, was connected with the heart, and God does not change. Deuteronomy 16 says, every man shall give as he is able, in accordance with the blessing which the Lord your God has given you. Now there's a different twist. If you think the Lord has blessed you or haven't blessed you, well, of course he's blessed you. Then you open your heart with a joyous heart and give to him whatever he deserves. That's what it says. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there is more food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. I never used to tithe. I can't even tell you when I started. A fair while ago. But this was one of the scriptures that influenced me in my giving to the Lord. He said, test me in this. So I did. He said to do it. You can test him, it's okay. And you know, no matter what my wage was, no matter, and I've never been a rich, rich person, believe you me, but God has supplied my every need in life. And I started, I tested God, and I would look at my money and think, gee whiz, yeah, all right, okay. So I gave a tithe of that money to the Lord. And sometimes I think God puts money in my bank book, and I'm not kidding about that, because it's always enough. And I would go there and I'd go, oh, wow, oh, I have enough food. Yeah, money for food. It's true. You test him. If you're not doing, you know, if you have any doubts at all about God, you can test him, particularly about this subject. And he will meet your every need. You can tell him I told you so. It's a challenge and it's scary. And people think, oh no, you know. I mean, I was there. But I'm a living witness to God's goodness and graciousness and what he can give you. And you will never want for anything. Sometimes it's hard, I'm not saying it's easy. But God gives us hard times, doesn't he? To see what's in our heart and to make us stronger in him. That's all, because it's his love. We don't give everything to our children, do we, parents? It's tough love sometimes when they want us to say yes and we say no. That's tough love. Church family, we are in debt as a family, as a church family. You heard Bev's prayer today. Our leadership has been praying. Don't go to sleep on me just because I'm mentioning money. We've been praying that we would be able to pay our pastor a salary when he comes. That's how desperate we are. So we went to the Lord and asked the Lord, does this mean that God's run out of money? He says, I will supply your every need, and yet we're in debt. So where's his money gone? Good question. Guess where it is? No, I'll go this one. I've got Bethy in there. It's in our pockets. It's in your pocket and my pocket. Why can I say that? Sitting in our bank accounts. You see, I can say that because everything we own belongs to God. How come? Because he gave it to us in the first place. We are only stewards of the things that God gives us. Do you know what stewardship means? He gives it to us, but we got to take care of it. So we have to be careful with the things that we own, and money is part of that. Money is part of life. We have to talk about it, whether we like it or not. So why is God taking us down this track this morning? Because as a church, we have a problem and we are family. Jesus knows that, and when I talked to him about it, he blew me away. He took me down this path. He doesn't come to make us guilty, manipulated, or feel ashamed. He comes with his love and his grace to each one of us, telling us that we have a heart problem. That's why we are in debt. And God sees your heart and my heart. And that's his message to us this morning, our heart. He wants us to change our hearts. He wants us to look at our heart, because where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. There was a long period in... Oh, I've told you about that. Okay. God says, test me in this. From the very beginning of time, God has asked man to bring to him an offering, the first fruits of harvest. We read that. God's light will only shine on those who open themselves to him. The openness must and only comes through consecration, which is unconditional and without reservation. It is not occasional, but it is continual. If one's consecration to God is perfect and absolute, your attitude towards God will naturally be unreserved, and nothing in our life or nothing we own will be closed off to him. That's the difference that consecration makes. What we've heard today is an answer to the prayer that the leadership has been praying about this situation. The Lord shows us anything in our life and service that is not in his will. And this is how God has answered. Because we didn't know how to take this problem to our church family. It's a delicate problem. But it's a problem. And God knows about it. And this is what he said. The rich young ruler, what happened to him? He didn't ask for help. He didn't know that God would help him give away what he had and have a consecrated heart. But that's where his treasure was. And then he said about consecration, what a difference it would make if our heart and everything we owned was consecrated to him. Jesus is saying that's our problem. That's our problem. We've got to look at it as a family. We've had closure over our finances and it has gone down significantly. Talk to Bev, our treasurer. She'll tell you. And all darkness comes from closure, and all closure comes from the lack of consecration. Wherever consecration is lacking, there is a place of reservation. Where one is unable to yield to God, he begins to defend himself and say the things, why I can't do this. But he has no way to the truth of what the Bible is talking about. Don't dishonour God, and we do, if we pretend to put something in the offering bag as it goes by. Jesus can see. He sees our heart. Don't dishonour him. It's always, always, always in this family okay to pass the offering bag if we don't have anything to put in it. A lot of us have electronic transfer things, a bit too digitalised for me, but I know it works apparently, and you don't have anything to put in the bag. It's okay to pass it and not feel guilty or wonder if your neighbour's watching you. It's okay. God doesn't make us feel guilty. He's wonderful. He comes with love instead. God sees your heart, and that's all that matters. Do you know, the lady in Matthew, Betty talked about her, how she came with a very, very expensive ointment, perfume, and broke it over Jesus when he was just relaxing by the dinner table. Where was her heart in doing that? Absolutely infatuated, and had such love and compassion and all the emotion for her Lord Jesus Christ. She went and sought out the best thing she could have. Now, if Nathaniel came to my house and saw, I only have two or three, but let's say I have a lot of perfume in bottles, okay, and I have a very expensive one that I only wear on special occasions when Gaby's not around. And he wants to put some on, and I know he puts his daddy's perfume on. And if he went for my expensive bottle, what would I say? No, 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 not that one. No, no, have this one. This is cheap. It comes from Coles. That's what we do. Well, that's what I do anyway. And I thought about this beautiful lady. She went to her cupboard. She knew what was in there. And she grabbed the best, the very best. George, when he 2 weeks ago, he mentioned about her, and he went in and delved in and said it was worth, and I can't remember what it was, but it was thousands of dollars worth of perfume. But that was the best she had, the best she brought to Jesus, because her heart was so full of love for him. She was consecrated to him. We can only bring the best. The best. Why? Because he's worthy. He gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. And this is why Jesus is looking into our hearts. He doesn't come with a big stick. He comes with love and says, this is the way. Church, this is the way. I want you to walk in this way, and then I can open up the windows of heaven and bless you all out of your socks. That's his message. That's his answer to our problem. It's a very easy answer, isn't it? But we have to believe it. We have to accept it. To have it in our heart. That's the difference. It can stay there. If it does, it won't come down here. It's got to be in our hearts. That's his message to us this morning. If you look at John 12, and when Judas was around the table, well, he had a totally different attitude, and he was really nasty. And I won't read it, but you can read it. And he really wanted to know what she was doing, wasting all that money on Jesus. Well, we know what was in his heart and what he did. Parents, I want you to think about what you can do about what Jesus wants us to do with your children. We're starting to train little Nathaniel. Give him a coin to put in the plate. That's a good start. I remember I was little, or my kids were little, and in those days we'd give them 2 shillings or even a penny just to put in the bag. And we that's a beginning to train your children how to give to Jesus. And we say, put this in the bag and give it to Jesus. And he comes, oh, he's so excited when that bag comes around. We should all be excited when the bag comes around. Yes. But, you know, even most kids get pocket money, I presume. As they get a bit older, they work at McDonald's or whatever like that. You know, this is great to get your children, talk to them, open the scriptures, talk to them about this, because what wonderful training from a little age when they've got their pocket money. Now let's put something aside to give to Jesus, and then you can tell how Jesus spends his money. Because we have to have money in the storehouse, don't we, to supply and do all that. We know all about that. And if you start to train your children like that, then as they grow older, it's going to become natural. And they'll do it automatically. So when they work, hello, sweet one. When they work, you know, the first thing they'll do is get their money, you know, out of the first thing they will give to Jesus is their first fruits of the harvest. So I leave it with parents. Great thing to do. Grandparents, you can have an encouragement in that as well. I never tithed once, but now I do. I'm a living testimony. Things are different now since I gave my heart to Jesus. I want things to be different for you too. I want you to enjoy his love, his joy, his happiness, his blessings, everything that he gives to us. Before we have our closing song, I want you just to bow before the Lord with your eyes closed. Doesn't matter what your neighbour is doing. Have a think about what Jesus has told you this morning. Would you like to talk to him? What have you decided to answer the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? If the Holy Spirit has challenged you this morning and you have decided to make a change in your life, to be more consecrated to him in every area, would you like to stand? And we will pray with you and bless you. Nobody needs to see who is standing, but it's a witness to yourself that you are making this decision for Christ. My all is on the altar. I'm waiting for the fire. It is God that will bring that fire. It is God that will bring his love and his forgiveness. Just lay it at the altar. Ask him to forgive you. He will, as he enfolds you with his love. Because it's only his love that brings this message this morning. He wants our church to increase. He doesn't want us to be in poverty. And the only way we can do it, turn things around, is by his love and his grace in our life. Father God, I ask that you will breathe upon and in to your children this morning. Father God, they are your disciples. Breathe upon them the breath of God. Make them anew this morning in their hearts. Father, they have an open heart to you this morning. and you see their hearts, and you come with your love, and you pour that love upon them and into them, and you take them, Father, to a new place in you, a new place, Father, where we can depend upon you for every single thing of our life. It's not that we want riches, Father God, but we want you. We want the glory. We want everything of you, Lord Jesus, because of what you've done for us. And so, Father God, we pray this blessing upon your disciples this morning as they stand before you as a witness. And Father, we bless them with all the blessings of heaven. We bless them as members of our congregation. We bless them as our brothers and sisters, Father, that as they take up this new journey with you, that you will teach and train them in a better and a new way to walk. And Father, your joy would be in their hearts, and that joy would overflow to their families and their friends and whoever they meet. Father, there would be such joy and happiness and lightness in their feet as whether they're at home or work or school or play. Father God, enrich them with your love this morning. We ask in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, and we give you all honour and glory, Lord Jesus, as we stand together, now. Stand together, church. Stand together, and we will sing our last song, worship team. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.